The gospel lesson this evening is taken from Luke chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 6 and 7. This is the good news about Jesus. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Let us pray. Dear God, may the Christmas story come alive through song tonight, through prayers tonight, through the lighting of candles, through the words that are spoken, and especially your word that is spoken to us, so that we may leave here transformed and different because of your most amazing gift. Amen. We make a big deal about mangers at Christmas time, right? Like a manger. Anybody have a manger at their house? I mean like a real one. All the hands go down, huh? Well, you know, there's something curious about a manger. And this is sort of a typical deal, right? Oh, he fell out. No, he's in there. He's stuck in the manger. This Jesus, you see, there's like some straw. You see that the straw is depicted there. And it's on a little base. And this is a common image of a manger, right? Like, what else would you expect? And I'm not here to crush any Christmas ideas or anything, but this is not the kind of thing Jesus was born in, I'm just telling you. And you know why? He was born in a manger, though. This just isn't a manger. Now, what do you associate with mangers like in real life? Well, what's a manger for? Food, right. Who said that? Yes. Hey, did you know... When pastors are offered housing, denominations call them different things, but one of the names is for what? When a pastor is given housing in exchange, you know, for services, what is that house called? A manse, which is the same root word for manger. It's a place where people are provided for. Now, in the case of a manger, like the one that Jesus was born in, but not like this, it was a place for feeding. But not feeding babies. It was meant to feed animals. And we know from the Christmas story, right, in different texts, Matthew and Luke both, that we know that there are animals that were around when Jesus was born. Because remember, he was born in a what? In a manger, yes. But a stable, maybe. But it was certainly a place where animals were fed. Now, the reason the manger is such a curious thing in the story is that you hardly ever in history hear about anybody being born in a manger. I mean, Ben Franklin wasn't born in a manger. George Washington wasn't born in a manger. You know, I bet you weren't born in a manger either. But even if you had a farm, you probably had a thing like a manger. It would just be a feeding trough. But in Jesus' day, back then, homes, just picture like a one-room home, not big. And it's made out of mostly stone or stone or like adobe, maybe, like just mud and stuff. Oftentimes, it was actually carved out of the side of a hill or a mountain so that it was essentially more like a cave than it was a house. And this place, this one-room home, families lived together with all the generations of people that were part of the family, and they'd live with their animals. Not all their animals. Just the main animals from which you got mostly milk. So there would be a cow and maybe a donkey who would have to be kept free from the cold at night. And the animals would actually live on the first floor of a Palestinian home, like the one that we know in our Christmas story. And the people lived about 4 or 5 feet up above that, like a split level, that overlooked where the animals were feeding. It was out of that stone or material that the animals would feed out of a trough called a manger. It wasn't just like a basket, like a bassinet in your nursery. It was actually a real place where animals ate. Now, why would you think they'd put the Savior of the world in a manger? What kind of mother is Mary anyway? I mean, what was she thinking? Well, here's what she was thinking. The Christmas story says that Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. Now, different times during history, it didn't happen every year. But they would take census times. And during the year of the census that Cyrenius called as the governor of the area, he said, everybody go back to your hometown because he wanted to account for everybody that has come from that certain town. And so they would go to get counted, and they would just be given months to get there. And so this is why Mary and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem, because Joseph was of the line of David. That's King David and others in that line. So this particular event brought Jesus and Mary, though Mary was pregnant, about to give birth. This is why they were in transit during the time that she gave birth. They show up in Bethlehem. They apparently couldn't find a relative that had space, and it wasn't really like a hotel. They didn't have hotels back then. But they did find a place where that was unoccupied that Mary and Joseph could hang out until Jesus was born. This is why they ended up placing the baby in a manger. It might have been made out of stone and hewn out of stone. And it's curious because Jesus, we know as an adult, a Savior who died on the cross for us, was buried in a tomb out of stone. And so when you think about the story, he sort of came into this world in a cold, dark place, and he died from this world, rose from the dead, and from a similar place. The manger was a sign that if you had food in your manger, the animals were well fed. In the Proverbs, there's a verse, a reference in Scripture that depends on this powerful meaning of manger as a place of provision, a place where you find hospitality, a place where you find food as essential in agricultural living. Only this time, the image is of an empty manger. Listen, from Proverbs 14. It says, "Where no oxen are, the manger is clean. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean." How good a farmer would you have if you didn't have any oxen? If you did not, and again, in Palestinian home agricultural society, if you didn't have any oxen to plow the fields, you didn't grow any crops. And if you didn't have any oxen, obviously they didn't need to eat their own food from a manger, but you also weren't a very good farmer and you weren't providing for your family. And so this powerful word manger is in the Christmas story because it reminds us that God knew that we needed something. We needed something for our own nourishment. We needed something that would be a blessing in our life. And God knew that we were made to have a relationship with him. And so he sent God in human form. And this God in human form was laid in a manger. The empty manger would then be trouble. If the manger was empty, we would not be provided for. But this manger was. It was filled. And it was filled with the baby Jesus. Now, as we think about the Christmas story, we need to remember that God does not leave us hungry. God does not leave us thirsty. Although sometimes God can feel a little absent, not so close at hand. The Christmas story is here to remind us that God is not only nearby, but he has actually invaded our life. He has come down to be with us in such an intimate and complete way that Jesus lived among us. He walked our streets. He ate our food. He met our people. All of us are connected to Jesus in his humanity. But Jesus wasn't just a perfect human. He was also God in the flesh. And so when he died for us, so much was accomplished. Immaculately clean mangers don't help anyone. We need to remember that the manger, the place of provision that God gives to us, is not empty. That God has promised us life in abundance, not in tinsel and wrapping paper and bright lights, at least not all the time, but that God is in the business of providing for people. What brought you here tonight? What is it that brought you on a beautiful foggy evening on Christmas Eve, like you don't have anything else to do? Well, of course you did. You made a choice to come. And I think this was no accident that you're here. I wonder, as you look around the room, do you see anybody that you know? You see some faces that you recognize? Isn't that great? Well, how does it feel when you look around the room and everybody's a stranger? I don't mean look strange, because, all right, okay. But I mean, look, actually, I don't know them. You know, I hope as we proceed during our service, as we remember the great gift, that God did not leave the manger of our hearts empty. Whatever you're longing for tonight, whether it's friendship or hope or joy or peace or love, whatever it is that in your life feels, gosh, I just wish, boy, if anything could like happen positive, this is the one thing that just would be awesome. That thing. Maybe that's why God brought you here tonight. To be reminded that that manger need not be empty. That Jesus was familiar with all of our lives. He wasn't born in some stately mansion, but he was the King of Kings. Jesus was actually, even in his birth, he had people in his family tree. They're probably worse than some of the people in your family tree. Present company excluded, of course. That Jesus is not unfamiliar with the struggles that we have, even the ones that are kind of petty. Jesus knows and understands what it is we need in our manger to lead a fulfilling life as God called each of us to fulfill, to be fulfilled. That is the Christmas promise. Not that all of our needs are met, but that our manger is full. That we know where to go to have our needs met, to have fulfillment in our life. And it starts with Jesus. As Mary put Jesus in the manger, we need to have Jesus in the center of our manger as well. Our opportunity is that Cold Spring Presbyterian Church is really kind of in the feeding business. We don't have any oxen, but we have gifts and blessings and resources to share with the greater community. These resources are given to us to share, and you are a resource. You are a gift, wherever you've come from, to be with us this evening. That manger should be messy, constantly improved, and even turned upside down occasionally, if a better way is found to deliver the bread of life, the living water, the Lamb of God, so that our communities, our families, might have a full spiritual meal, might have a full emotional meal, might have all of their needs met, and a life of abundance. Our communities deserve to be places of hope, and it is the Christmas hope of a full manger that makes all the difference in the world. Individuals using their gifts to work. What opportunities do you see ahead? Let's together ask God that our buildings, our gathering places, our homes, our places of work, our classrooms, all of our places would get more messy so that more oxen, as a metaphor for what we do, the creative work that we do, that like a good manger, we're stocked with resources because it blesses all who feed there. And may God feed you and all of us this Christmas season from the true manger of Christmas hope. May your manger be filled. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you have not given us an empty manger, but you invite us to go and be recalling the story of that early manger, the one Jesus was placed in, and that bread of life, that Lamb of God, that wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, might be in our mangers too, and that all would feed in abundance. In Jesus' name, amen.